Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, in the studio today with Elliot Miller. He is editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, as we answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can join us on air by dialing 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. The Christian Research Journal, Elliot, is an award-winning magazine that we believe no Christian home should be without. It deals with cutting-edge issues, and over again, we refer to the Christian Research Journal when people ask us questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because sometime or other in the history of the Christian Research Journal, we have tackled virtually every question that could be tackled on the cults, the occult, aberrant Christian theology. We've dealt with those cutting-edge moral and ethical issues that people have to grapple with in the 21st century. So the Christian Research Journal is a magazine that is making a difference because it's on the cutting edge of issues that Christians need to be apprised of.
That's absolutely correct, Hank. I teach a class on evangelism and apologetics, and my students had a research paper assignment, and they chose a wide variety of subjects in the fields of apologetics. Virtually every one of them, their footnotes are littered with articles from the previous issues of the Christian Research Journal. Whatever topic that they chose, they were able to find some of the best resources in our articles. And the nice thing about it is that it is so concise. I mean, you really get a book's worth of knowledge in about 6 or 7 magazine pages, because we pack it in there, and we also have synopses to make it simple. We have footnotes. It's fully documented. So it's just exactly what Christians need. It's not too much. It's not too little. If you really want to know a subject that's come down the pike, like, for example, in this latest issue, we're dealing with plastic surgery, we're dealing with environmentalism, we're dealing with Margaret Sanger, the person who founded Planned Parenthood and who was the person behind the birth control pill being produced. We're dealing with killing the Canaanites. This is a subject that just comes up all the time. Christians say, is God responsible for ethnic cleansing? Is God responsible for actually killing off whole races of people? So we have an article dealing with that. These are timely topics that you bump into when you're trying to share your faith with people. They're common objections. We also have a discernment piece on television. So that's 5 feature articles in the latest issue dealing with timely issues, and this is happening 6 times a year. It keeps you informed, and then as you have a place where you store your back issues, when one of these issues comes up, somebody mentions to you plastic surgery, they want to know, what's the Christian position on that? Or they want to know, why did God order the Jews to kill the Canaanites? You go, oh, I remember, we just had an article on the Christian Research Journal dealing with that. So you go back to your old collection, pull it out, read it, and then talk to your friend, and you've got the information that you need.
Here's the bottom line. If you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team today, you get a year's worth of the Christian Research Journal coming out to your home. The next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal is our way of saying thank you. You can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team online at equip.org. You can do so via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Santiago, listing an XM170 in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Santiago.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Always enjoy your program. I've called you a couple times, but it's been a couple years since the last time. I was calling because, one of in your introduction, you were speaking about Sanger and her introduction to the birth control pill and so forth.
Yes.
And one of the topics that I have a great interest in, and I will immediately say that I'm very biased on it, is that is contraception, and that I think that contraception is perhaps at the root of many of the evils of the sexual revolution. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that up and see what you would say about it.
Yeah, certainly there's a lot of debate amongst Christians on the question of whether birth control is appropriate in any form, but there is no question from a biblical worldview perspective that birth control methods that are designed to destroy or prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg or an embryo should be avoided at all cost. So we want to make absolutely certain that a fertilized human egg is not destroyed. And that is happening in a lot of different ways. We now have the right to experiment on human beings. We can take the stem cell of an embryo and therefore destroy the embryo. And that has not just a sort of a esoteric concept from my perspective, but it has real life touching the flesh perspective for me, because I've mentioned this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I went to speak in Ohio, and the man that picked me up from the airport told me about how he had adopted an embryo. And that embryo was frozen for quite a number of years, thawed, implanted in the uterine wall, and now is a little girl named Elise, who is 4.5 years old. I have a daughter named Elise as well. And so I sat with this little girl who was a frozen embryo at one point, who is now a little girl who I read Bible stories to and hugged, gave a kiss on the forehead, and pushed on a swing. So this is not just some kind of ethereal, metaphysical argument. This is plain old experimental reality. And Elliot, I think we today, to Santiago's point, are living in a time where the smoke from the chimneys of the crematoriums is wafting over our rooftops, and we seem to be blithely unaware that a Holocaust is taking place under our very noses.
That's correct.
Indeed.
And I would also add, you know, Santiago, in regard to your question about contraceptives, the birth control pill specifically, I wrote an editorial in the latest issue, and it's called The Normalization of Premarital Sex, Satan's Master Stroke. Okay, and in this article, I argue that through the birth control pill, as well as through the legalization of abortion, it was now made possible for people, you know, young women or older women for that matter, to have sex outside of marriage without worrying about becoming pregnant. And that opened up the floodgates for a redefinition of sexual morality within our culture. If you go back to the 1960s when I was young, and you watch, you can still go back and watch the television programs and movies that were made at that time, you know, there's basically a Christian or biblical view that sex is only, you know, morally acceptable within the context of marriage. And of course, that whole definition has been, you know, reverted, turned on its head since the sexual revolution of the late 60s, 1970s, completely made possible by, mainly, I would say, contraceptives. And so certainly this has been a tool of the devil within our society, even if, you know, Christian couples may use it within a marital context to control the number of childbirth. Then you get into the issues that Hank mentioned with regard to not wanting to kill a fetus, but or you know, a conceptus. But the reality is that this we need to be discerning about what has happened within our culture.
Yes. My view as I work in my church is a premarital preparation, and I talk to the couples come in and they are already living together. Probably 90-95% of them are already living together and sexually active. And I always ask them, what is the difference? And the difference is usually because they don't have the worries about having a child before.
That's exactly right. And this has been a complete change in our society within Hank and my lifetime. I mean, I know Hank would remember just as well as I do what it was like when we were young. You know, it doesn't mean people didn't fool around and have sex outside of marriage, but it was not the normative thing. It is now sanctioned by society. In fact, society suggests living together prior to marriage to see if you're compatible. You know, I mean...
Indeed. I had a couple that came in the other day, and I said, and they asked me, that they told me that the reason why is that in case it didn't work. And so I told them, well, what happens if it doesn't work? You're going to try it again in case it doesn't work? And if it doesn't work then, you're going to try it again in case it doesn't work?
To your point, there's a great article in the Christian Research Journal. It's by Joe Dallas, titled, You Should Have Put a Ring on It, Witnessing to Cohabitating Couples.
Right.
It is instructive.
Yes.
It is fantastic. One more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Thank you, Santiago. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Brace, listening about radio in Tyler, Texas. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
I had a question about Romans 1, 24 through 27. And I'm asking this because I've been talking to people. We've been asking, are you born as a homosexual, I guess you could say, or is it some as a result of sin?
Yeah, I would answer that question two different ways. First of all, I would say homosexuality is not an identity. Homosexuality is a behavior. But even if you could in some way demonstrate that there is a gay gene, and I don't think that the science backs that up, but even if you could demonstrate that there's a gay gene, it doesn't mean that you should engage in homosexual behavior, because homosexual behavior is deflective to an individual. God gives us rules for how we live, or parameters within which we are to live our lives, not because he's a cosmic killjoy, but rather because he wants our joy to be complete. If it were determined that someone had a murderous gene or a hate gene, that does not give them any prerogative to hate or to murder. Murder and hate are still deflective to an individual and vicariously deflective to a society. So I don't think that's the real point. The real point at hand is, what does God say about homosexual behavior? What he says is, don't do it, because it's destructive to you and it's destructive to society.
Yes, and that is the key thing, both to you and to society. It's contrary to God's plan, is contrary to his design, is contrary to the self-evident purpose of sex, which is to procreate. And so in this situation, if someone has this orientation, then this is something that we certainly have compassion on those people and would want to support them in following God's word, provide an environment that would encourage them in that, provide counseling and scriptural support. But when you have a tendency to do something that is contrary to God's word, even if it can be shown that it is a genetic tendency, like that, I've heard reports that there are genes that make people prone to alcoholism. Some people have, the studies have shown that alcoholic people have particular genetic, disposition or tendencies. And that doesn't mean that they should just surrender to the alcoholism because they're genetically disposed toward it. I personally don't believe that anybody just gets, or very rarely would it occur that somebody would get up one day and say, I think I'll become a homosexual. You know, so I think it's a false debate that we have going on in society. Do people choose to be gay, or are they born that way? I think rather some people may have, they may have an extra amount of Y chromosomes, or other things that might, affect their sense of their own sexuality. But then it's so much of it is developed through our environment and through our choices. And so I just believe some people might have a tendency to go in a direction more strongly than someone else. But still, this does not mean that it's something that they are predetermined to do. If you have a tendency to go against God's word, you need to trust Him and in prayer and submit your life to Him and receive forgiveness when you fail and continue to repent and obey Him.
And we are coming to the end of this segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be answering your questions during the show today. Elliot Miller is in studio with me. We're having a lot of fun tag teaming as we answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is the most important economic month of the year for us, December. It's when we catch up. It's when we see how we can go into the new year with strength under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It takes many people standing together to make this ministry work. We want to invite you to be part of the team. Join the Bible Answer Man broadcast team by going to the World Wide Web at equip.org and joining in a safe, secure fashion online. We'll be right back with your questions.
Here at the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you." Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years, and we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you have been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this. Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative documentary movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled. Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And a reminder, you still have time to get The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each year during Christmas, I communicate the truth concerning Christ coming in flesh this year. Just like last year and every year before, I want to take the truths of Christmas and turn them into a Christmas tradition. So the purpose of The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you will likewise prepare your heart. As the culture begins promoting Christmas shopping the day after Thanksgiving, Christians can begin preparing their hearts for the celebration of Christ's birth. So it's my hope and prayer that you will use this devotional to begin a Christmas tradition that carries on until the year in which you meet your Savior face to face. The book, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Well, this month, again, our way of saying thank you for your prayerful and for your financial support. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to resource consultants by dialing 888-7000-CRI. And do remember, your questions on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK in studio to help answer the questions today. Elliot Miller, he is editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and that should be a constant reminder during the show that if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you ought to do that immediately. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sheila in Virginia. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about a ministry, and it's called The World of Tomorrow, and the pastor is David C. Pack.
Yeah, he is the pastor general of the Restored Church of God, and the Restored Church of God is committed to preserving the teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. Herbert W. Armstrong started a cult. In fact, after he died, the cult was taken over by a man named Joseph Tkach. And Joseph Tkach began recognizing that this cult denied essential Christian doctrine. And when he came to faith in Christ, he wanted to take the cult and move it into the historic Christian faith. Of course, he had a great problem because so many people were galvanized around the teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. And so he started the process. And then when he died, his son, Joseph Tkach Jr., took the process over. And it was his commission, his call, the call in his life by God, to take those within the Worldwide Church of God and rather than to galvanize them around splinter groups, gather them together around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. To that end, he actually wrote a book, Transformed by Truth, which I wrote the foreword to. And I saw he and the leadership of the Worldwide Church of God take that whole movement within the pale of orthodoxy. So they're thoroughly orthodox today, but unfortunately David C. Pack and the Restored Church of God wanted to stay within the cultic realm, and so they continue to deny essential Christian doctrine and are a very dangerous movement from a theological perspective and in some senses from a sociological perspective as well.
Yes, you have a doctrine with them that you know, it's not a trinity, but it's a multiple Godhead, that when we are born again, after we are not born again in this life, when we're born again in the next life, then we become a part of the Godhead. So the Godhead keeps expanding. So you can see at that point, you're not dealing with the Trinity, you're not dealing with the God of Christianity. And of course, there's a heavy emphasis on legalism, the Old Testament law, dietary laws, and so forth, and works righteousness, and many other cultic teachings. We have information on the Worldwide Church of God at CRI.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, a privilege to talk to you as well, and it's as a result of those that stand with us prayerfully and financially. I want to go to Miguel, listening in California next time. Miguel?
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, brother, you probably don't remember me. We were at the Caribbean cruise. I was talking to you about my parents. They were, like, mostly they were into Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh,
actually,
yes.
They are into but anyway,
I can almost see your face.
You for your ministry, brother. Huh?
I can almost picture your face.
Yeah, you can almost picture my face, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, hey, brother. I wanted to ask you about a question about the kingdom. There's a guy named Miles Monroe.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying his name right, but anyways, we're having a Bible study, and with my wife and my mother-in-law. And they're talking a lot about the kingdom, but they're actually leaving out a lot of the redemption which Christ has done on the cross.
Well,
skeptical.
Yeah, you ought to be very, very skeptical, because Miles Monroe has his own principles of the kingdom, and in his principles of the kingdom belongs to us as a result of the word of faith. So we create our own reality by the words that we use, just like God created his own reality by the words that he used. And in fact, Miles Monroe goes so far as to say that God cannot do anything in the earth realm unless we give God permission to do it.
I want you to read the Bible again. Some of you have never read it before, but try read the Bible again and find anywhere in the Bible, listen carefully, where God ever did anything on earth without the cooperation of a human. Find it. Doesn't exist. When God wanted to set the people free from Egypt, he had to get a man to help him. When God wanted to burn and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he had to get a man to cooperate. When God wanted to do anything on earth, even to save us, he had to send a human being on earth. Therefore, whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it. That's why prayer is necessary.
Well, as Miles Monroe must surely know, nothing could be farther from the truth. Even a cursory reading of the Bible reveals the unilateral power and province of the Almighty. I think Miles Monroe could learn a lesson from Nebuchadnezzar after 7 years of hanging out with the heifers. Nebuchadnezzar raised his eyes towards heaven and acknowledged that far from needing the permission of people, God does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. So this could not be farther from the truth. But that's the problem with the faith teachers. They take texts out of context, use them as pretext, because their system of theology is what drives their message. It is not that their system of theology is derived from the scripture. It's derived from New Thought metaphysics. It's derived from all kinds of occultic principles. It's lightly painted over with Christian language, and then it is disseminated to unwary people who are not grounded in the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Yes, you really have to, you know, as a Christian, have, you know, your discernment faculties in gear when you start listening to people on TV, the radio, or, you know, the internet, who are drawing in people by saying controversial things, saying shocking things, that who feel that they've always got to be sort of pushing the envelope in coming out with something more bold, more outrageous, and you know, it's almost like, you know, they've got to keep people entertained, and they've got to draw people to themselves as though they're the source of this insight you can't get anywhere else. But it always ends up being man-centered at the expense of God. In other words, ways in which God becomes dependent upon us, and you bend God's will to the human will. Well, that, as Hank said, that's the essence of occultism. It's certainly not biblical Christianity, which is summed up by Jesus as, "Thy will be done." You know, and so we really need to look out for people that are just trying to always have something more spectacular to teach. We need to get back to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, back to the Bible, the old-time religion.
Miguel mentioned the cruise he went on with us. We're going on an Alaska cruise, and what we're doing right now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot and myself, we'll be doing on that cruise. We have theology talks at night. Everybody gathers together. We answer questions. We have a robust discussion, and no one wants to leave. So it usually ends up being a late night, although everybody can leave, go to their cabin whenever they want to. Also have on board Grammy Award-winning artist Steve Camp, who is just an incredible asset to every cruise I've ever been on. People grow to love him, not only his music, no one does worship like he does, but he has a deep theological acumen. He knows the Bible very well, so he joins in answering questions as well. I do talks virtually every morning. Elliot's going to do some talks as well. All of that taking place June 3rd through the 10th, 2011. Coming up probably only 6 months from now, so if you want to participate, time to do it is now. There are early registration prices. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or if you want a brochure, write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kobe next. He's listening on Bot Radio in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kobe.
Hi, Hank. Pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise.
I had a question about the millennial reign of Christ when he comes back. We just completed a Bible study on the book of Revelation, and we had taken a lot of the study we kind of pulled from Clarence Larkin's book on Revelation, as kind of a reference. We tried to stick strictly to the book of Revelation and wherever it led us into the Old Testament. And I was curious, as my wife had caught a partial segment of one of your programs, and something might have got lost in translation, but it struck her that you were of the opinion that it was a metaphorical term, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. And one of the things you have to recognize with respect to the millennium is you find no teaching on the millennium in the Bible until you get to Revelation chapter 20. Now, once you've read Revelation chapter 20, you might be able to find some corresponding portions in the Old Testament that might be perceived to mean that after Jesus Christ returns, people can be saved, and then there's a 1,000-year semi-golden age with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices, and that at the end of that time, there's a great revolt, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle and number. They're like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people. So there's this great revolt, and then there is the eternal state. And I simply would point out that every time 1,000 is used as a whole number, it is used in a metaphorical sense. And therefore, my sense with respect to the millennium is that it does not have to do with the duration of time, but a quality of vindication for the martyrs. In other words, they're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an everlasting vindication. If you want me to follow up on that, I can do so on the other side of the break. If you have a follow-up question, hang with us. Otherwise, we'll be right back with the rest of our callers in just a few moments.
The apocalypse code by Hank Hanegraaff could very well change your mind about coming events and why a proper understanding of biblical prophecy matters so much. The apocalypse code addresses today's most asked prophecy questions, but more than that, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. Yet this book does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it provides a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. Now available in softcover, you can order your copy at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or online at equip.org. Stay tuned, because the Bible Answer Man will return after this. Genesis to Revelation, the entire New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, including Richard Dreyfuss, John Voight, Kimberly Williams Paisley, Michael York, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
With feature film quality sound design and original score composed and conducted by Stefano Minetti, the Word of Promise audio Bible transports the listener back in time. When Moses led the children of Israel, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and when Jesus walked here on earth. Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 CD by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The number of patients seeking plastic surgery has skyrocketed in the past decade. In his article titled Self-Esteem from a Scalpel, The Ethics of Plastic Surgery, Richard J. Poupard explains how we can discern when it is appropriate to seek the aid of plastic surgery. The new atheists call God's commands to kill the Canaanites genocide. Yet a closer look at the horror of the Canaanites' sinfulness reveals that God's reason for commanding their death was not genocide, but capital punishment, as described by Clay Jones. Other articles include Should Christians Be Environmentalist? The Negative Effects of Margaret Sanger, Television as the New Literature, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, in studio with Elliot Miller. As we answer your questions, we'll go right back to the phone lines. Lawrence next, listening on Bot Radio Fresno, California. Hi, Lawrence.
Hello, Hank, and I want to thank you both for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Hank, my question goes into, you know, once you repent of your sins and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become the way it's put, you're sealed forever as a child of God. The question becomes, but when you backslide, the Bible talks about Satan coming, finding an empty space and coming with sevenfold demons. And then it also talks about the Bible that no one knows when the return of Christ is going to be. So if Christ returns while those sevenfold demons are there, are you still guaranteed to be saved? That's kind of where the question is.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. If you are a child of the King himself has taken residence up within you. And therefore, your temple has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That temple is not going to be shared by demons. And Christ makes that point in Matthew chapter 12, doesn't he? You know, how do you go into a man's house and plunder his possessions unless you first bind the strong man of that house? Now, within the context of Christ's teachings, the strong man, if you are a believer, is God. So in order to plunder the possession of God or the temple of God, you would have to bind God, and that is impossible. So the point in general is this, that your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit in which the Holy Spirit resides. If you are an unbeliever, yes, then your temple is subject to be inhabited by demons, but not if you are a believer. They can tempt you in all kinds of ways, but they cannot possess you because you are the possession of the Holy Spirit. You have an intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I agree with that. Of course, I've written on this subject. We have an article at equip.org called Can a Christian Be Demonized? That I was the co-author on, that I strongly recommend that you read, because it will go through and look at all the major passages that pertain to this question, and it will, I believe, pretty convincingly show you that this is not something that can happen to a Christian. But with regard to the passage, that the parable that you quoted of the strong man binding the person, well, you know, the emptying out of the house, the cleaning of the house, and then seven more demons come in. You have to realize that that parable was told about the nation of Israel, and it was referring to the fact that John the Baptist had come and Jesus had come and had cleaned it out. But they rejected the message of Jesus. So they therefore became subject to even greater judgment as a result. Even greater infestation with demons because they rejected Christ. So if you take that parable and you apply it on an individual level, the analogy on an individual level would be someone who was delivered of demons, but their house remained empty. Jesus never came in and abided there, and therefore they became open game to more demonic invasion in the future. So if you've been a Christian, when we come to Jesus, we don't get unborn again. The Holy Spirit does not leave us. And so this is not a parable that you can apply to yourself if you've been a born-again Christian.
Very, very well put. I appreciate that. So in conclusion there, once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are sealed as a child of God forever.
That's exactly right, yes.
And I think what most of us were thinking that were considering that topic is that, you know, some of us backslide and we begin to do, ungodly things. But according to what you all are saying, that even if you do of those things, you're still a child of God and therefore will inherit the kingdom.
Yeah, you can slip on board, you just don't slip overboard.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit is not going to let you just go on your merry way. He's going to convict you, he's going to discipline you, he's going to deal with you, and you're going to come back around again if you're a child of God. And I can tell from your expressions that this is where your heart is, that you want to follow God, you're concerned about your relationship with him. Someone who was unsaved wouldn't be concerned about such matters.
Thank you, gentlemen. Very good point.
You got it. I read about this as well in the book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, where I point out that when an evil spirit comes out of a man, says Christ, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Now the point here is pristine. If we are unoccupied by the Holy Spirit, we subject ourselves to the possibility of being inhabited by demons. If, on the other hand, our house is Christ's home, the devil finds no place in us. And I give a number of different arguments which demonstrate collectively that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. We can fall, we can slip, but as Eliot points out, the one who saved us is also the one who sanctifies us and one day will glorify us. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Erica next, listening in Fresno, California. Hi, Erica.
Hi. I just want to thank you for taking my call. I had a question regarding anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I've been diagnosed with anxiety, I guess you can say, and I read about it, and there's different types of anxiety that you can have. And I just, the one I'm experiencing, I guess, is like a depersonalization kind of anxiety. I'm not sure if you know what that is, but like, I just feel like disconnected from reality, I guess you can say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric, a couple of things. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I would say this, that the antidote to anxiety is to become ever more conversant and familiar with the lover of your soul, the one on whom you can cast all your cares because he cares for you. So for every believer, even if you have a psychological problem that requires medical attention, all of us have to start at the base level as Christians who are having, a conversation here. You're very cogent. I can understand exactly what you're saying. You're articulating your thoughts very well. You need, as someone who can grapple with issues as well as you demonstrate that you can, you need to go to the Word of God and recognize the truths of the Word of God. One of those truths comes from Psalm 139. And it lets us know that there is no place in the entire universe that you can go without God caring for every detail of your life. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the mountains, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and I fly to the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. When you take a passage like that and internalize it, memorize it, you recognize that God is in control of every detail of your life. And that gives you a peace. It's not a peace that is a panacea, as though somehow or other you're not going to have any more problems again. But it is a peace in the midst of life storm. So while you can get other kinds of helps, you can get medical attention, you can get psychological attention, I think that you need to pay attention to the Word of God. You need to begin memorizing. If you haven't memorized Psalm 139, I would commend that you do that. And then you spend time with the lover of your soul in prayer. And the more you do that, the deeper that relationship becomes. On top of that, you begin to exercise the very spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. Collectively, you will start to recognize a peace that floods your being. Because I can tell you there are a lot of things I can get anxious about during the day. I'm not immune from anxiety disorder. If you live in a high-stress, high-paced environment, as I do, you have so many things coming your way that there are times you say, I can't handle this. But those are also the times that you step, as it were, into the arms of the Lord who carries you through the most dark and difficult times. So let's not forget the basic steps of a Christian worldview: getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you, making certain that you learn to spend time with the lover of your soul, not just as we so often do, we fall to our knees, and before our knees have hit the ground, we're already rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. We treat God no better than we treat some of our cherished relationships. We want intimacy without the investment of quality time. We want to make sure that we pray, build a relationship with God through prayer. And then I think it's critical that we're involved in a healthy, well-balanced church so that we have the body to surround us. We're impotent without the body. When we become believers, we're not Lone Ranger Christians. We're part of the body of Christ.
Yeah, and you know, I can only add a little bit. I think what Hank just shared with you is excellent, as I'm sure you'd agree. And the Bible passage I'm about to share, you're probably familiar with, but it is such an apropos Bible passage, I thought I would share it. Just recognizing that, you know, you may have a condition that requires you know, professional help, and whatever you're dealing with may be something you have to deal with over a period of time. It's not going to go away overnight. But this is what this passage in Philippians chapter 4 talks about, is something that you learn to practice and train your mind to do. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things, things you've learned and heard and practiced and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you."
We're going to have to leave it at that, Erica, because we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The focus is on the Bible. Get into the Word of God. Get the Word of God into you. If you don't have the Legacy Reading Plan, make sure you go to the World Wide Web, download it, order it, do whatever you have to do to make sure that you start reading through the Bible. We're out of time. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org.